produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, good day, family. This is Pearl Coupe, and I'm so pleased to once again have the opportunity to be able to share the Word of God with you today. And today I'm actually going to be talking about the orphan spirit. This past week, I put a post up on my Facebook wall, and the post had to do with the orphan spirit. And in the post, I was talking about how the orphan spirit manifests itself. One of its signs and how it manifests itself is through seeking attention. It is starved for attention. And that post aroused so much interest and generated so much interest. People were asking, what is the orphan spirit? People were asking, how does one identify it? So many questions and so many requests on my Facebook wall that I decided to dedicate today's radio teaching on the orphan spirit. I've also done a Facebook Live. I did a live stream on it this morning. So if you want to watch a longer version of this teaching, then you can go to my Facebook page. Pearl Komotso Kupe is my Facebook page. Pearl Komotso, K-G-O-M-O-T-S-O, Kupe, K-U-P-E, is the name of the page that the Facebook Live program is on. So feel free to go there if you want the longer version, because we are limited on the radio version. I think the Facebook version is 50 minutes long. And this one is going to be only 27 minutes long. So it's almost half of the Facebook version. So yes, so we're going to be talking about the orphan spirit, how to identify it. And I first shared on the orphan spirit in, I think it was in June 2014. And I shared a little bit about the orphan spirit. And what I'd like us, first of all, to start off understanding is that the orphan spirit is very pervasive and very prevalent in the body of Christ. And, you know, when it manifests itself, it creates a lot of challenges, a lot of damage. It does a lot of damage and creates confusion as well within the body of Christ and wherever it manifests itself. And the first thing I would like to say is that this season requires us to be extremely focused, beloveds. In this season, the body of Christ needs to be focused. We are in a time of intense spiritual warfare. We are warring for the nations. We're warring for communities, taking up territories. That is the mandate that God has given us. We do not have time, and we do not have, you know, energy to be now trying to deal with the orphan spirit, which has a way of sucking time and sucking energy. And so this spirit, this orphan spirit, distracts, it derails us from focusing on real kingdom issues. And another thing that I found is that most people who do suffer from the orphan spirit are not actually aware that they are suffering from the orphan spirit. And you know, and the tragedy of it is that this spirit is taking away energy and strength of people who should, instead of operating it with, you know, within the parameters of that orphan spirit, which hinders, which prevents, which blocks, and which is a stumbling block, people, instead of being engaged in spiritual warfare and being recruited as one of the sons of God, as one of part of the army of God, as one of the soldiers, people are now languishing and lamenting as they're influenced and controlled under this orphan spirit. So that is something that, you know, I pray that this teaching will help us on, and that God will, Holy Spirit will help us to do an introspective work where we ask Holy Spirit to search our hearts and to do a spiritual surgery and a spiritual work in our hearts, so that we will no longer be derailed or delayed or denied by the Spirit. So the first thing I would like to say before I formally kick off the teaching is to say that the way in which, or the approach that is going to be taken, that I will take in teaching on the orphan spirit, is to teach on it by distinguishing it from the sonship spirit, the spirit of sonship. Beloveds, all of us are called to operate and function as sons of God. That is one, the highest level at which one can operate. I'm not talking about being a son in the faith to anybody, but as a son relating directly to God. When we talk about sonship, we're talking about maturity, people who are walking in maturity. And you know, babies cry, they look for attention, they criticize, they complain. But sons are distinguishable in that sons take up responsibility. Sons are the ones that know that they're flowing in maturity now, because it is sons that God calls on to manage and to steward our Father's heavenly estate. It is sons that God calls on to disciple nations. You cannot disciple nation as a baby who's still crawling and still trying to talk. It is sons that God will require to fulfill the Matthew 28, 19 and 20 assignment, to go out there and teach and train and equip the nations and begin to disciple the nations and take the nations by the hand. Only sons can do that. Babies cannot. And the orphan spirit is the opposite of the sonship spirit. It is a stumbling block and it hinders us from operating in sonship. And there's so many of us in the body of Christ that are suffering from the orphan spirit. My prayer is that through this teaching and the following prayer, which we will close out in prayer, my prayer is that many of us will be healed, will be delivered of the orphan spirit that is actually operating as a hindrance and a stumbling block in our lives. So let's talk about first how the orphan spirit enters. What are the legal entrances? What are the open doors that perhaps may have brought in this spirit of orphan spirit in us? Well, when we look just basically at the word orphan, of course, an orphan is somebody in its usual context and usual meaning and definition. You're talking about somebody who has no parents. And we're talking from a biological perspective and biological definition. So an orphan is somebody who has no mother. An orphan is somebody who has no father. And so as a result of not having a mother and a father, this is now an individual who has been abandoned, or at least feels abandoned. This is an individual who feels lonely. This would be an individual who feels isolated. And oftentimes the orphan spirit will take root or enter an individual after they have suffered rejection and or abandonment by either a parent. It may not necessarily be a parent. It could be a spouse, or some other person who was near and dear to their heart. And so people who have suffered rejection by either one or even both parents may manifest the spirit. An absentee parent, growing up without a parent, maybe a parent who's abandoned you and you've been raised up by a single parent. That may be grounds or create a foundation whereby now a person and an individual, if they are not counseled, they can actually walk in and experience and be influenced by the orphan spirit. Broken down marriages where somebody is divorced, a wife who's divorced, a husband divorces the wife, and that wife, because of rejection, may now also develop a orphan spirit. If she's not counseled, if she's not healed, if, you know, she is not able to, as a result of her relationship with God, experience that healing. So the spouse who's been abandoned, a spouse who's been divorced, may suffer from this. And you may even suffer from this without necessarily have even entered into a marriage. You could have been engaged as a fiancé, or just maybe in your mind, the courtship that you went through was a courtship that was going to result in marriage. And so the rejection that you may have suffered from that relationship may have now provoked or set grounds for the entrance of an orphan spirit in you. So I was looking at the Bible and trying to look for case studies and examples of biblical figures and biblical individuals who had manifested and shown signs of the orphan spirit. And I'm sure many of you may think, maybe I'm talking about of Esther because Esther was an orphan, but I do want to say that the fact that you may be an orphan in the natural, you may be biologically an orphan, that does not necessarily mean you will have an orphan spirit. So an orphan spirit will depend largely on the circumstances you went through and also your response to those circumstances. So I'm not going to be talking about Esther. She was blessed to have a cousin, much older cousin, Mordecai. If you read the scripture properly, it says that Esther was Mordecai's uncle's daughter, not her uncle. He was not her uncle, but he was her uncle's daughter, thus making her a cousin. So they were cousins. And I want us to actually talk about Cain. Cain, who, when I read Genesis, I saw Cain manifesting an orphan spirit. This was somebody who, along with his brother, they had both offered sacrifices. They had both brought an offering before God. And in one case, the offering was accepted. In the other case, it was not accepted. And Cain, when his offering was rejected by God, he interpreted and translated that as rejection by God, that God was rejecting him, not just rejecting his offering, but he felt that God was rejecting him. And yet that was not the case. And so as a result of misinterpreting God's rejection of his offering, Cain now was unable to receive the Father's love because he felt rejected. And this is something that's very common amongst people who felt rejected. When they've been and felt rejected by people, it's often very difficult and very challenging for them to receive the love of Father God. One of the things about the orphan spirit is that the orphan spirit can seemingly never get enough attention. It often feels starved of attention. And if you are somebody that the orphan spirit is connected to or looks up to as a mentor, as a teacher, as a leader, when you begin to give others attention, the orphan spirit will feel abandoned and will often get jealous. And this, of course, we saw again with Cain when we study Cain, that Cain was jealous of his brother because his brother had gotten attention, the attention that he was wanting, the attention of having his sacrifice being received. And that's the attention that Cain wanted to rather have from God, but didn't get it. So Cain felt rejected. He was jealous, and his jealousy grew to such a level that he eventually killed and murdered his brother. And because he felt rejected and he felt that his brother had taken the attention that he deserved. So we must be careful that we deal with rejection. We deal with issues so that those issues do not fill us with hate, hatred and hostility and jealousy that now leads us to a place where we can actually physically harm or even kill those that we love, or kill them even in the spiritual realm, because the Bible tells us that when you hate your brother, you are a murderer. It calls you a murderer. So you don't have to have physically killed somebody to be labeled a murderer in terms of kingdom talk and kingdom terminology. The orphan spirit manifests itself a lot in South Africa. I want to bring it home a little bit for those of us who live in South Africa, and let's look at some of the statistics that are said to be out there. One of the statistics states and claims that we have 9 million fatherless children in South Africa. 9 million children who have no fathers, not because their fathers are dead, but because they're being raised up by single mothers, because they're either divorced or their mothers were never married and they're having to be brought up by a single mother. And so with those 9 million fatherless children, it means that there's a lot of pain out there. Those children are experiencing a lot of emotional pain. Many of them have felt that rejection of not having a father being around to teach them, to train them, to feed them. And I do want to say this, that even as a father, you may be a father, maybe you're divorced, or maybe you never married the mother, but you are maintaining the child. I want to encourage you and say that maintenance, financial maintenance of a child alone will not ensure against the orphan spirit, because the orphan spirit has to do with wanting love, attention, time. And so just by financially maintaining a child, it will not necessarily do away or assuage that feeling of wanting to be wanted. So if you're a single father, if you're a father out there, don't think that just by paying maintenance that this orphan spirit will be dealt with. The orphan spirit is a spirit that must be, dealt with demonstrations of love, demonstration of care, demonstrations of kindness are what will kill the orphan spirit. So a lot of the emotional, physical, spiritual ills and things of society, we can actually trace back to human beings, individuals, people feeling alienated from God and feeling alienated even from their biological relatives. And what we found and what has been found is that men who were orphaned, who either experienced, the loss or absence of a mother or father, especially father, such men we found have often had challenges connecting intimately with their spouses or with their children. They often have intimacy connections. And I'm not just talking about sexual intimacy. I'm talking about actual talking, relatability issues. Such men usually have such challenges. On the aspect of women as well, orphan spirit, absentee fathers can have some profound detrimental consequences for young women. I'm privileged to be able to counsel many, many young ladies, and it's just such an honor and a privilege to mentor a lot of young ladies. And some of the young ladies that I've mentored have been labeled and stereotyped by society as being loose young ladies, loose women, promiscuous women. And one of the things that I've discovered and observed in the course of counseling and mentoring is I've found that these so-called loose or promiscuous young women, many of them are actually not promiscuous. Many of them are sleeping around or, just having casual sex with different men, not because they want to, not because of any other reason than the fact that they are looking for missing father figures. They're looking for attention from men. And it has unfortunately manifested itself in a sexual way. But in reality, the root of that promiscuity, in many cases, I'm not saying every case, but in many cases, the root of that promiscuity is really a cry and a hunger for attention from men, that attention which they missed as young girls. If you look at gangs, I don't know what nation you are in right now, but I can tell you in South Africa, we have some challenges with gangs, especially in the city of Cape Town. You find that there are many gangs where boys are recruited at a young age into gangs. And if you study and do your research well, you'll find that many of these young boys who've been recruited into gangs are coming from homes where there was no father figure. The father was usually completely absent or partially absent. And so many of these young boys actually join gangs to do what? To get a sense of belonging. Because the orphan spirit is that spirit which experiences loneliness, isolation, abandonment. And so many of them will go and seek validation and approval through gangs, where they feel that by joining and being a member of a gang, that they've been validated, they're being validated by that gang. So I want to, in the next few minutes, just go quickly over some of the symptoms that may help us identify whether we're suffering from an orphan spirit and or whether somebody close in our family is suffering from an orphan spirit. And one of the things I've observed in people or individuals who suffer from orphan spirit is that there's a common tendency to be jumping from one mentor to another mentor, or jumping from one ministry to another ministry, that it becomes a trend in people who have the orphan spirit. They're looking for, starving for attention, and they will be jumping from one mentor or one father in the faith to another father in the faith, just going, it becomes a trend in them. And they will just keep disconnecting from somebody to join with somebody else. Why? Many oftentimes they will say, oh, they're not getting what they want from the father in the faith, or from their leader. They're not getting what they want. And usually the problem or the challenge is not with the father in the faith, not with the mentor, not with the teacher, not with the leader. But the real challenge is actually with the individual who keeps jumping, who usually has some sense of insecurity that needs to be dealt with. And they're starved of attention. So when they don't get the requisite attention that they want from that mentor, from that teacher, from that leader, then they begin to look for other places where they feel they might be able to get that. And when they don't get it from the next person, then they keep jumping, hopping to people, trying to fill that void. But that void will never be filled until they deal with their insecurity issues, until they deal with the identity issues, and until those insecurity issues are dealt with and cut off at the root, they will keep on endlessly searching for what they think is a perfect father in the faith, a perfect mother in the faith, a perfect mentor, a perfect teacher, a perfect leader. That person is not there, and they will not find that person. So, and oftentimes people with orphan spirit, you know, they will jump from one person to another, because many of them do not like to be accountable, and they want to be approved always. They want to be validated. They want to be flattered. And if you are a mentor like me who will tell you the truth and correct you in love so that you can grow and fulfill your kingdom mandate, if you are a person like me who, you know, will give the truth, some mentees, some people who have the orphan spirit will not always like to receive the truth. They want you rather to lie to them. They want you rather to flatter them. They want you rather to shower them with compliments. And they don't care that those compliments may actually be establishing them in error. As long as they're feeling, you know, stroked and wanted and loved, and the words that you utter make them feel that way, then they will actually pursue that rather than pursuing truth, which will set them free, and set them free indeed. So some of them, orphan spirit, will not want mentors who will correct you in love, rebuke in love. And the Bible says, those whom God loves, he chastises, he disciplines. So discipline should never be seen as hatred. It is when you truly love somebody that you correct, rebuke, discipline them in love, so that they can walk in the protocols and the agenda of God. So many people with an orphan spirit want that person who's mentoring them to approve everything that they do. And if the spiritual parent in the faith does not approve everything they do, does not validate them in the manner that they seek to be approved, then they are usually going to search in search of a new mentor, or somebody who will now teach and speak and lead them. Now, number one, in terms of still symptoms, the orphan spirit has a way of operating from an insecurity and identity issues. And closely attached to that is jealousy. This is a spirit that has identity issues. It's a spirit that lacks self-esteem. Whereas, in contrast, the spirit of sonship walks in love and acceptance of Father God. They understand that God loves them unconditionally, and that there's nothing they can do to actually cause God from stopping them, that God will never stop loving them. And so the spirit of sonship really largely functions out of love and out of acceptance. The orphan spirit, because it's insecure, because it has identity issues, because it can move into a place of jealousy when it sees other people receiving attention that it wants, through that jealousy, the orphan spirit can also be jealous of their brothers and sisters. Whereas a son will actually rejoice and celebrate the success of their brothers. So in our ministry, for instance, Global Forum for Women Entrepreneurs, we have a saying where we say, we complete, we don't compete. We complete, we don't compete, because we are not jealous of anybody else's success. We celebrate it. We thank God for it. And we actually go out of our way to see how can I help you be more successful in your endeavors, in what you're doing. Let me play my part in pushing you forward and pushing you to the front. And the orphan spirit also works very hard, uses works to try and earn the father's love, to try and earn love by other people. You know, they serve rather out of wanting to earn acceptance and love. And whereas the mature son actually serves out of relationship. And the orphan spirit works on trying to buy or earn the father's love or earn their peers' love through gifts and all of that. It's an orphan spirit that's trying to seek acceptance from others. But the son serves out of an understanding and knowledge that I'm accepted by God and I'm loved by God unconditionally. The orphan spirit is one that would pursue, you know, success in terms of how it's defined by the world, and also is a very ambitious spirit. Whereas the sonship spirit is one that pursues purpose. It pursues purpose. In Mark 8:36, it says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" So the son understands that I'm not validated and approved by things, by cars, by houses, by brand clothing. That does not determine my worth, nor will it validate me. And the orphan spirit is the opposite, looks at, you know, what kind of clothing I'm wearing, what kind of house I'm in, what kind of car I'm driving. They're ambitious, pursuing personal ambition as opposed to pursuing kingdom purpose. And so those are another two distinctions between orphan spirit and sonship. And material and possessions and money are those things which drive the orphan spirit. And the son, however, understands that they are approved and validated by the father, by the father's affirmation. In Jeremiah 1:5, if you read the Amplified Version, says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I consecrated you to myself as my own. I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So he says, I knew you and approved of you as my chosen. The son, those who operate in sonship, know that God has approved them. He has validated them and approved of them as their chosen instrument. Orphan spirit will always look at external possessions, money, influence, fame. All those things are what will be driving the orphan spirit in an attempt to be accepted, in an attempt to be validated, in an attempt to try to buy love and win approval. So, beloveds, that's just in a nutshell, a short teaching on the orphan spirit. I pray that you've been blessed. And my prayer right now for you is that the Lord will begin to rebuke and break every spirit, any spirit or any influence of the orphan spirit that may be operating in any of us. I pray for the blood of Jesus to begin to just cut off any connection to the orphan spirit, and that you will be set free right now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, set free from any desire to be approved of man, to be validated by man in any sense, that you know that your identity is in Christ. You don't seek validation by humans that will lift you up, but you know that God has already approved you. And I pray in the matchless name of Jesus that you will no longer work hard to please other people in an attempt to try and earn their love, to earn their acceptance. And I pray that you will operate in the identity of Christ, and that whatever identity issues may be there will be broken. Identity issues of insecurity, identity issues of lack of self-esteem and lack of self-worth, identity issues of wanting attention and needing attention. May God begin to break that, and may you experience the love of a father, the love of the father, because that is the thing that will come completely break the spirit of orphan spirit in is when you begin to directly connect to the love of the Father and begin to open up your heart to the love of the Father. May you open up your heart to the love of the Father and receive His unconditional love in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We give you all the glory and all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you and have an awesome week.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
Good morning, SKM Shimikoto Ministries International Radio Network with Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on our Western Standard Time, bringing you the word of the Lord and on this topic, to be led by the Spirit of God. One of the highest desires in life, one of the highest appealings that I would like to encourage everybody in these days we're living in, it is to learn the secret of being led by the Spirit of God. I'm sure you agree with me that after the coronavirus pandemic in 2020, there's been a running up and down, helter-skelter, people trying to find out what is God saying or what is my zodiac saying, what is whether you're visiting the clairvoyance or New Age or fortune-telling. People have been running up and down, not knowing exactly who to consult and what to look for. For you and I, as God's people, we thank God because we have been given a roadmap by which we can understand what the will of God is. Psalms 23 and verse 4, the Bible says, He will lead me in the pathway of righteousness for His name's sake. It's important for us to know that God's children, we are led in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And I want to use that scripture and I want to use the core foundation of it, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are children of God. Now, when you look at that verse, when you look at that chapter, Romans chapter 8, the words of the Apostle Paul, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. It is imperative that you and I understand what is the leading of the Word of God in our lives. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go together into what God has given us as we see what the Word of God says. Life is a series of starts and stops. Life is a series of starts and stops. There are times where we have to stop, and there are times we have to start all over again. Your life, right from the time when you were born to the time to where you are right now, no matter how old you are, you will find out it has not been a smooth way that goes on and on and on and on and on. It is a series of starts and stops. So what I want us to do right now, I want us to look at what the Word of God teaches us as far as being led by the Spirit of the living God. Remember, Romans 8 and verse 14 is our foundational text. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God. If this is what the Bible wants me to embrace and to understand, that I am a child of God, determined by how much of my life am I prepared to be led by His Spirit. So it becomes one of the most key and pivotal things in life. If I want, therefore, to be led by the Spirit of God, I'm going to give you a few things that I believe are very critical in our lives. To be led by the Spirit of God, therefore, I will need first and foremost to be careful that I won't allow culture, the world's value system around me, to be my guide. I repeat. Number one, if Paul is alluding to the fact that in order for me to be led by the Spirit of God, then that's a determination that I am a child of God. My being a child of God is determined by how much I am prepared to be led by His Spirit. So allow me therefore to give you what I call the five, not two. Number one, not two. If I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, I need to be careful that I am not led by the culture, by the world's value system surround me. Ask yourself that question. What is in the culture surrounding you that seems to be leading your life? Is it mob psychology? Are you led by the fashions of this world around you? Are you allowing yourself the culture to determine the course of your life? Are you the type of a Christian? Everything goes as everyone is creating that pattern. It is a common phenomenon where you hear people say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Are you led, or are you allowing yourself to be led by the culture, the value system that is surrounding you? You wear what they wear, you do as they do. So be careful not to allow the culture around you to set the pattern if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8 verse 4 in our text. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Number two, not two. To be led by the Spirit of God, I need to be careful not to follow the friends that do not follow the God I serve. Watch the way that I have said it. Friendship with the world, the Bible says, it's enmity with God. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as living sacrifices before God. But then he goes on to say, once again, Apostle Paul, he says, do not conform yourselves to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds by the word of God. I cannot be led by the Spirit of God if I allow the friends around me who do not follow God. That's the catalyst there. Friends around me. There are a lot of Christians who seek counsel and guidance for their future, for their destiny, for their tomorrow, from friends who are not following God. I know a lot of Christians who have deviated from that which God had given and intended for their lives because of peer pressure, because of following the worldly friends which do not follow God's pattern for our lives. What are we saying? Let's put a balance there. You see, every child of God, you are supposed to love all people. You are supposed to love even the unlovable. You are supposed to love even the worldly friends. But watch the difference. You are not supposed to allow their value system to be your guide, because their source of inspiration, their source of guidance is not the same as your source of guidance. So what that means is, I can love my friends, but the desire is for me to be an influence over their lives and not vice versa. There are two gadgets that we know that we use in our everyday life. One is called a thermometer. The other one is called a thermostat. A thermostat regulates the heat and regulates the cold. But a thermometer measures the temperatures of what is without changing the environment around it. God's desire for you and I is to make sure that we are not thermometers who just take, which measure the temperature of what is surrounding us. The desire of God in our lives is to be like thermostats so that we can regulate that which God has called us to be. The Bible says in 1 John 2 verse 15, don't love the world. What does that mean? Because the same John who says not to love the world and everything that is within it, he also says in John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world. So where do we go with this? It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand. 1 John 2 verse 15, love not the world, is not talking about the people. It's talking about the world system, the value system. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, talks about the people. So we are called by God to love the people and hate the world's value system. If you and I are going to be led by God, if you and I are going to be led by God, we need to understand that we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And in order for us to be led by the Spirit of God, we need to be careful that we are not led by the value system of the world, but we are led by the Spirit of God. That is the second thing that is very, very crucial into our lives. But number three, in order for us to be led by God, we cannot allow our feelings to lead us if we're going to be led by God. Don't allow your feelings. You see, your feelings are unreliable. Your feelings go up and down. Your feelings should always be checkered by the Word of God. Because if you allow your feelings to lead you, your feelings can mislead you. Because today your feelings, you might feel like praying. But if you follow your feelings, sometime tomorrow you're going to feel like sleeping. You'll feel like doing something else. Your feelings are not a standard of measure for you to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Many, many, many people, they felt like doing things. You know the story of how David was tempted and ended up taking Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. He saw the poor woman taking a bath on the housetop. Felt good in his flesh watching Bathsheba taking a bath. And he thought, husband is at war, I'm at home, beautiful woman, I feel like having her. The feelings that produced the lust in his life led him to take Uriah's wife, somebody's wife, and slept with her. One thing led to the other. Killed Uriah through an instruction he had given. Feelings are not a good reliance upon if you're going to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, in order for you and I to be led by the Spirit of God, we cannot allow our feelings to be a reliable source to be led by God. Number four. In order for you and I to be led by the Spirit of God, remember Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God. We cannot allow our circumstances to be our final authority. If we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God, cannot allow our circumstances to play a center stage in doing the will of God. Acts chapter 27, verse 10 and verse 13 to verse 15 allude to the point when 276 prisoners and Paul is among the prisoners. They are sailing, going to Rome. Paul, an angel, appeared to him at night to warn the captain of the ship and their crew that if they had left, the journey was going to be stormy. There will be a loss of lives, loss of luggage. So he warned the captain that the journey was going to be dangerous. The voyage was going to be tumultuous. But listen to what the Bible says. When a soft breeze, circumstances, if you ever found yourself encountered by soft, gentle breeze, at that time, many of us are quick to say, God must be in it. A soft, gentle breeze, and you think, God must be in it. Circumstances that are not checkered by the authority of the word of God can mislead you. The Bible says when they followed the gentle breeze, the captain ignored what Paul had said. And they followed the gentle breeze into a storm. Many lives, and the ship was destroyed. It did not been of God who spared all the prisoners on board. The whole ship was broken in pieces. Circumstances are not the final authority to be led by God. You should always check your circumstances with the word of God. You want another situation? Jonah. God spoke to him clearly, Nineveh, to preach the word. Circumstances. He find himself going down to Joppa, found a ship, bought a ticket. Circumstances. There was a space. Bought a ticket, got a seat. Circumstances. Went and sat under, below the deck of the ship. Everything was perfect. The guards came about looking for the ticket. Everything was fine. Jonah was happy. He wasn't going to Nineveh. He was not going to Tarshish. Circumstances. Halfway through the trip, God was calling him. Cost the sailors their luggage, their baggage, their important stuff into the sea because of one man. Circumstances. Ladies and gentlemen, it is important that we understand that if we're going to be led by God, number one, you can't allow your culture to dictate if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Number two, you can't allow your friends that do not follow God. Who are you listening to as far as your destiny, your future, and your tomorrow is concerned? Number three, you can't allow your feelings. They are unreliable. You feel cold today, you feel hot tomorrow. You feel good today, you feel rough tomorrow. Your feelings need to be checkered by the will of God. The Bible says, as many as are led, not as many as feel, as many as are led. Your feelings are unreliable. But number four, we found out as well, you cannot be led by the Spirit of God if you allow your circumstances to lead you into the will of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, our listeners, this is where we are at. We are going around with that scriptural foundation. For as many as are led by the Spirit, I'm sure there are many of you today that says, I need God's direction for my life. I've lost my job. Some of you, you have lost your families. For some of you, you have been cut down at work. For some of you, you have been made redundant. You are looking right now, what are my options? Listen to me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, God's Spirit desires to lead you into marriage, desires to lead you into getting a new opportunity, desires to lead you in getting a job, desires to lead you in the direction for your children, for your sons, for your daughter, for your finances. There are many voices. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me and hear me well. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God. I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be that one that will not follow the voice of my culture, the voice of my friends that do not follow God, the voice of my feelings, the voice of my circumstances. But lastly, if you're going to be led by God, do not follow other sources that do not derive their authority from God. You can think this seems to be the same, but it's not the same. You cannot follow and look to other sources other than God. What are other sources? I am shocked to see that in the world we're living here today, many Christians, some, if not most of us, find guidance from zodiacs, find our guidance about tomorrow, fortune telling. Many Christians would rather find guidance about the tomorrow from horoscopes. My star is Aries. My star is Cancer. My star is Virgo. Christians find meaning and destiny from horoscopes. The devil is a liar. You cannot be led by the Spirit of God if your sources is into clairvoyance, into fortune telling, into palm reading, tarot cards. There is a one word for all those mediums that I've given you right now. And that word is divination. Deuteronomy chapter 18. God warns his people not to consult the dead, not to consult the spirits, not to consult sciences and Scientology, not to consult the witches. You and I, as a child of God, God's people, we need to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo on SKM Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network, as we brought you the element of the Word of God in these days that we're living in the days of COVID-19, may you get these five major things, areas, categories, not two, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Remember, David says, he leads me in the pathway of righteousness for his name's sake. God's desire is to lead you, and his leadership is always to the right place at the right time. There might be pain sometimes when you follow the leading of God's Spirit, but there's always, it's always ending to be good for you. May God bless you. Thrive in him, knowing very well he has begun a good work in you, and he will lead you to eternity in Jesus' mighty name. This was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on a Western Standard Time, bringing you the voice of destiny, empowered for your destiny. God bless you. Bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.